Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Bernier, and I'm the Associate Senior Pastor of Into the Light Ministries. I also head up some of the youth programs we do here at Into the Light, and I do a lot of the mission trips that we have overseas. Today I want to share with you just a little bit about what waits for you on the other side of the trigger if you should decide that suicide would be your way out. You know, I've known people over the years, and I've had a lot of friends that have thought about suicide. And I've had a lot of friends that have been depressed. And I think everybody goes through that stage. If you're a teenager or a young adult and you tell me that you've not been depressed, then I'll call you a liar to your face, because everybody goes through that. I don't care who you are. And everybody comes to that point in their life where they think to themselves that there can't be anything better. But my friends, there is something better. I've seen friends of mine go down the tubes on drugs and on alcohol. I've seen them worry over girlfriends, cars, every little thing you can think of. But friends, I want to tell you that nothing in this world could ever make me want to kill myself. I've been through some bad times. A few years back, my sister lived in South Carolina, and I got a call on the phone one day, and they told me that she had died in a car wreck. My friends, that's some pain, and I was depressed for many years after that. But even through that, I still didn't want to kill myself. There was always something that made me want to continue to live. You know, I find it hard to believe the old line that people always tell you, well, you know, things were just so bad that I couldn't go on. That's a bunch of rubbish. You know, no matter what you have in your life, something is always going to come up that's going to be better. There's always going to be sunshine the next morning. And yeah, you may go through those times where there's a low or a lull in your life, but if you would look up to God, and that's the key right there, that's where most people fail, because they can't look to God. They can't see past their own little world. You have to look up to God and see what He's offering you and what He's showing you. There's a great life that waits for you, my friends. But if you pull that trigger, or you use a knife, whatever it is that you're thinking about, and I know there are those of you out there today that are watching this program, and don't think it's an accident that you're watching this today even though you're thinking about suicide, because God has got a call on your life and He's got you here watching this. And hopefully you will not hear my words, but you will hear what God has to say to you today. I want to explain to you a little bit about what heaven is like first. When you get there, my friends, God will be there waiting for you with open arms. And all those people that were here on earth that told you were never any good and you could never amount to anything will be there also, but they'll be there being pushed off the other side while God opens His arms to you and says, my son or my daughter, come into my kingdom. That, my friends, will be a wonderful day. I want to share with you a little bit about hell today and what that has for you and what you can find if you go that route. I don't want to see anybody go that route. I've been a firefighter for about 5-6 years now, and I've been in burning buildings where the temperature has reached over 3,000 degrees. And that right there is hot enough to make you want to never go back to it again. But that's nothing compared to what hell is going to be like. If you would, do a little exercise with me. I want you to close your eyes and just listen to what I have to say. I want you to put your hands in front of your face. Now, if you do that, you're not going to be able to see your hands, because it's too dark. Even if you have all the lights on in the room, you still won't be able to see your hands. Well, hell is darker than that, my friends. It says in the Bible what hell is like. It tells you about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. You know, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, I might as well go to hell, all my friends will be there. Well, they might be there, but they won't ever see you and you won't ever see them. All you will ever see or feel are the demons crawling around you. You will never be able to see it in front of your face. You wouldn't see your hand an inch in front of your face. There would be heat like you have never imagined. Imagine if you can, and some of you out there may be able to imagine what it's like if you've ever been burned, But imagine having your skin being burned over and over and over continuously again, then regrowing back. And it doesn't matter what you do, it will continue to come back. Imagine, if you can for a moment, what it was like for the Jewish people in World War II. Well, the torment that you will face in hell will be thousands of times worse than anything that they ever went through. I want to share a little scripture with you, and it's in Job 24 and 20. And it says, "The womb forgets them, and the worm feasts on them. Evil men are no longer remembered, but broken like a tree." That is a powerful scripture if you think about it. Evil men, such as Hitler, are broken like a tree. People who thought that they were so powerful are snapped in hell. And the worm feasts on you was always what got me about that scripture, though. Because that, if you read that scripture and you truly believe the Bible, or even if you don't believe the Bible, if you read that scripture and you would understand that one part, there are real worms there that will feed on you continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for eternity. And you will never be able to do anything about it. Can you imagine feeling that forever? I can't. I can't think of what that would be like. I can't think of anything in this world that would be bad enough to make me want to go there. And I've had letters from people on an article that I wrote that's on our website about this, who tell me that there's no way that I could understand what they go through, and that there's no way that I could understand how bad things can get. And I don't buy that. I'm a paramedic student, and I've been in med school for many years. And I've studied psychology, and I know what people go through. I know what kind of disorders there are out there. But still, I've met many people with those throughout their entire life, and they still found something to look forward to. I've run into people who have said that they didn't want to live because their boyfriend or their girlfriend dumped them, or their mother or their father hates them, or whatever the case may be. Get over it. It's as simple as that. There's going to be another girlfriend or another boyfriend. So your mother and father don't like you. God loves you, and when He said in the Bible that He is your Father, that is your new Father, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is accept Him into your heart, and you will have all the love that you've ever desired to have. You know, I've seen people waste their lives on alcohol and on drugs, and I never could. I've worked in the emergency room, and I never could understand what it was that drew people to the alcohol and the drugs. We had a little girl come in one night, and she must have been no more than probably about 20 years old. And she came in, she was on methamphetamines. And I've seen people, you know, I've seen people on different kind of drugs, and I never could understand those. But this was the worst. This was the one I could never understand. Because it took everything that about 20 guys my size or better had to do to hold her down. And she must have weighed no more than 110 pounds. Now I ask you, where is the fun in that? You know, where do you go after this? What do you do? You can't continue to live like this. I've run into a lot of people who are of the younger age, my age and a little bit younger, or even some that are older. And they've, somewhere in their mind, on some twisted mindset, they've decided that religion and God and all that, you know, weird religious stuff is only for the older people, those people who are too old to have fun anymore. There was a time before I got saved when I thought that way. You know, and I won't lie to you, I did. I think everybody has before they got saved. But I got saved, and I realized that I could do just as many things as I did beforehand and enjoy them even more, knowing that I had God to watch over me and to keep me company. When I first started dating, I was still having, you know, I was still coming into my walk with God, and I thought, well, there's, you know, never going to be anything. And finally, I recommitted my life to Christ. I went through everything over again that I needed to do, and the Lord brought a beautiful woman into my life. And we've been married now for almost a year. We have a beautiful baby boy who is healthy as can be. My brothers are all married now. And I see so many people who ask me, and they write me letters, you know, well, I just can't seem to find the right person. It's because they won't listen to God when He directs them on where to go. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten track here, which is where I want to go. In Exodus 20 and 19, it says, "Thou shalt not murder." Friends, when you think of suicide, in essence, you have committed murder. When you think of something, you have done it. It's like the person who goes out to the strip clubs and he's married. or even not married, but for those who are, and they think about sleeping with this other woman. Well, if you think about adultery, you've committed it before God. In His eyes, you've done it if you've thought it. So if you're even thinking about suicide, you've already done it. But if you, God punishes the murderers. His commandment states that thou shalt not murder. Well, what do you do if you kill yourself? So someone else hasn't shot you, you've done it yourself, but you've still, in essence, murdered yourself. You are going to end up in hell. There are no two ways about it. God is not going to take back His word just because your life was so bad that you had to take the cowardly way out. And please, whatever you do, don't write me letters and this telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I get those all the time. If you don't like what I have to say, go somewhere else. I'm sure you can find a bunch of love doctrine religious freaks out there who'll tell you anything that you want to hear. But if you listen to what we have to say today, or any of the other days that this program is on, you will find that we speak from the Bible, the only one true Word of God. The commandment about thou shalt not murder, I get a lot of people who write me letters on that. And they tell me, well, you know, I can't believe in a God that would punish you because you can't handle the pain. I don't think they quite understand the Bible. If you read it, God states in His Word that He will take away all your pain. He died on the cross to take away your suffering. Well, if you kill yourself because you're suffering, you never knew God to begin with. Because if you'd have just got down, accepted Christ for who He was and who He is, and done what you are supposed to do, then you would not have the suffering that you have. And that's all I'm asking you to do today. Even if you don't want to hear what I have to say, research it with someone else. Go look on the web. Type in the word suicide and see what you bring up. I guarantee you, you'll find probably 20 or 30 articles the first time you type that up that have to deal with the same exact thing that I'm talking about here today. Type up depression and see what that brings up. You'll bring up a bunch of these same articles that deal with clinical depression and how it works and what it is. You know, I think very often about spending an eternity in hell. It's on my mind all the time. Not because I dwell on hell, but more so that I dwell on heaven and I think about those people who are never going to make it there. I look at my wife and my child and I think I could never imagine being without them. And if you accept Christ, when that day comes and we're called up, you will go to heaven and you will spend it with those you love. But if you do not, and you decide that you want to pull that trigger, you are going to end up in hell. You will never see anyone that you love. No one there will love you. There will be continuous hate. People will not be able to stand you. Can you imagine that? If you think your life is so bad now because nobody likes you, so you're not the most popular kid in school, you are going to be the most hated person that has ever lived in hell. You will hear these words that I've spoken to you and the words that everyone else has ever spoken to you about this very subject for the rest of eternity over and over and over again. You know, I can't stand to hear myself talk. I couldn't imagine hearing it over and over and over again for eternity. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life, when it speaks about it in the Bible, is talking about heaven. When it talks about death, it speaks about hell. Which is not to say when it talks about you dying, that's talking about hell, but when it uses the word death, it speaks about hell, and the word life speaks about heaven. I think I would much rather be counted in with that very few who are going to have eternal life. You know, there is only one person in this world that I trust with my problems. Well, There's one person that I trust with my problems, and that's Jesus. And He's not in this world. But He's in you, and He's in me. And He's in those people around you that have been saying the same thing to you over and over and over again. And you're sitting there right now, and you can feel something, and you don't know what that is. But this whole week, whatever it's been that you've been thinking about suicide, You had no problem until today. You're starting to feel something as you're watching this program and you want to leave, but you can't. You can't get away from it. That's called conviction. And that's God coming upon you saying to rethink what you're doing. You know, I'm not saying that you have to go out there and go to church on every Sunday, that you have to give money to the church. That's not what God is about. If you truly would read your Bible and look at what God states and what He says, He doesn't talk about the big cathedrals where you have to give thousands of dollars to become a member and have to pay for your pew. All God wants is you to love Him. He gave you a choice. You could love Him or you couldn't. That's how much God loves you. That he didn't just decide one day that He was going to make people and they would have to love Him no matter what. He gave us a choice in the very beginning. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. And they chose what to do. And from that day forward, He's given everyone a choice. From you all the way to me. Well, God gave me a choice many years ago to preach the gospel. And I did it. I willingly took up that call. And I've been all around the world. I've been to Mexico. I've been to England. I spent 2 years in Australia. And this year we hope to be going to the Philippines, and next year we hope to be going to Africa. You know, when I think about the Philippines, I know that there's a very good possibility that we could end up getting killed over there because they're killing missionaries. Every one of them that they see, they're killing. And my friends, if that was to happen, I would so dearly love to see all those people with me in heaven. I would love to see you in heaven. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, how could you love to see me? You don't even know me. Well, that doesn't matter, because in Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. And I want to see all my brothers and all my sisters there, to stand before the Father, and to be welcomed into His kingdom. If you'll bear with me for 1 second here. In John 10:10, it says the thief, and there it's speaking of the devil when it talks about the thief, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. When you think about suicide, ask yourself, where does that come from? Well, if the devil has come only to steal and only to kill, and God has come only to give life, there can only be one answer. It has to be the devil. And there's a lot of you out there who've been to church, who've gone to church for many years. And you know, I've been in churches, I've looked at them, and I can understand where you can get just so sick of it that you can't stand it anymore. Because there's so much talk about this and about that and about some other thing. Well, I want you to understand that God only wants to love you. He doesn't want you to go out there and have to build these millions of dollars worth of glass chapels. He doesn't need you to be up on TV. If He calls you to do that, that is fine. But you don't need to do these things. The only thing God asks of you is that you would love Him so that He could love you. But if you pull that trigger, you'll never get that chance. Think of all the things that could happen in your life. For all you know, you could go out tomorrow and you could win the lottery. You could have millions of dollars and be able to do everything that you've ever wanted to do. But yet you're going to rip yourself of that chance by pulling that trigger today. Is it really worth that much? Is there really that big of a problem? You know, I've known people over the years that have gotten upset or offended when I've mentioned Christ. And I've known a lot of people that are in that same position. And I had one friend of mine tell me one time that, and he was saved. He said he wanted to end it all because he couldn't proclaim the gospel in his house because his parents weren't Christian and they got offended. And it did nothing but make me mad. How can you, if you truly believe the gospel of Christ, then you should be able to step anywhere, go anywhere, and tell anyone. Who cares what they think? You live in America. This is a free country. You can say whatever you want to say and they can't take that away from you. You can go and tell anyone you want about Christ. But you're never going to be able to do any of that if you end it all today. And I know that there's somebody out there that God wants this message brought to. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are. But whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, it can't be that bad. You know, Like I said before, I've been a firefighter for many years. And the day that we're filming this on today is September 11, 2002, and it's been 1 year since the terrorist attacks on the United States. And this morning, before I came in here, I had to go attend a memorial service for the firefighters and the rescue personnel that died there. And in God's Word, there's a scripture in there that says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." You know, I think no matter who you are, you can sit there and you can look at those people and you can think about them. But what I prefer to do is look at the families that we never see, the wives and the sons and the daughters, the fathers and the husbands that were left behind. How bad do you think it was for them? Do you think they didn't want to end their lives because of what happened? Their husbands and their wives, their sons and their daughters went to work that day, like any other day, and that night they never came home, and they've never been home. You know, they would have wanted to end their life worse than I think any of the rest of us would have. But yet they're still here. They continue to talk. They continue to come on the news and tell us about the things that have happened since then. Because they fought that. In their time of need, they found someone. And I don't know who they found. And I would prefer that it would have been God. But they found someone to get over it. And if you can't find what you need to get over, whatever your problem is at your church, go somewhere else. If you need to, go to a counselor. Go to a friend that you trust. Call someone, you know, email someone. You can get on our website and email us. We're available 24 hours a day. You can call us on the phone. We can talk to you. Anything that you need to do. You know, if you're in a bad situation and that's what's causing the problem, then get out of the situation. You know, if you're too young to be able to leave on your own and there's a problem that's causing this, find someone at school to talk to. Find a friend. Find someone else's parents to go to and talk to them. Tell them what the problem is. Because as much as you don't realize it, there are people out there who do care about you and who do love you and want you to survive. And I'm not saying that it's easy to go through these problems. So many people have heard me talk about suicide and all the things that wait for you if you pull that trigger. And when I talk about all the different causes of it, they think that the only reason I do this is that I don't care. They think that I'm heartless. I'm not. I understand what you're going through. I've been there. You know, I sit in every day and I watch my father, who I love very much. And I sit and watch him sit in agony and in pain from the degenerative disease that he has in his back. And I know that there's nothing I can do about it. I have come so close so many times of watching him go to the hospital, just breaking down in tears when he goes. I've seen times where we thought without a doubt that he was going to die. I've seen him go through two heart attacks. I know what you're going through. Like I said, my sister died. That was the most painful experience of my life. The first time I was going to get married, I met a girl and I thought I loved her. I really did. Until I found out one day that she was pregnant. And it seemed that I was the only one who didn't know about it. And that hurt. But even through all that, I continued to go. Because I had a family that loved me. I had a church I could go to and talk to my pastor and talk to my elders. I could turn to God. I found a way to get through it and to overcome that problem that came up. And that's all I'm asking you to do, is to overcome that problem. To find out what it is that's causing you to want to end your life and to go talk to someone about it. It won't be that hard. Like I say, I know what it is. I know that there are depression, that there are sicknesses such as depression. I have a friend who's a manic depressive. So I'm not disagreeing that there are those diseases. And I'm not disagreeing that those diseases can cause you to make you want to kill yourself. All I'm asking you to do is to find out why the reason is that you want to do it right now and to talk to someone to get over it. Because yes, you may have that feeling that you want to. That doesn't mean that you have to go through with it, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't mean you have to pull that trigger. As I said before, if you pull that trigger instantly, like that, you will be in hell. You won't see the ambulance. You won't see the paramedics. You won't be at your funeral. You won't care. No one will care. And that's all you'll know for eternity. You think it's bad now. You will die, and for the rest of eternity, you will be left with the feeling that no one cared. Wouldn't you rather spend eternity, time without end, knowing that someone loved you, that God loved you? Wouldn't you rather spend eternity in a place where you could see, where you could be with those who loved you and those who you love, where you could be with your brothers and your sisters in Christ? I could not imagine being without my family. You know, I couldn't imagine spending eternity without seeing them there. All I want you to do is think about it and to find out. And like I said, if you need to call us, feel free to pick up that phone and call us. I'm not going to get upset if you call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would rather that you called me and woke me up out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning than I read in the paper that someone else took their own life. You know, I sit at home and I cry when I read the paper of all the kids that I read in the paper who have taken their own life. And I can't imagine why no one cared. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you know somebody who wants to take their life. Talk to them. I don't buy that you're too afraid or that you can't speak to them or that you don't want anybody to find out. That is the biggest lie I've ever heard. Well, I don't want somebody to find out. Tell someone. Tell a parent. Tell the police. Tell somebody and get them some help. Because if you don't, their blood will be on your hands. And not only will they spend eternity in hell, you'll be sitting right there next to them because you were too afraid to tell someone, or it was too embarrassing for them. If someone says to you, I want to kill myself, or I'm thinking about suicide, you need to find help for that person because you have just become their advocate. Because they can't help themselves anymore. And if they told you, it means they're calling for help. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to bow your head and please pray. Father, we ask you to watch over us and bless us and protect those who we know are in need. And watch over us that we may not pull that trigger. In Jesus' name, we ask you, Father God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about the words that I've told you today. I want you to look at that gun real hard and then think back to what you've heard. Think about hell. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that is what waits for you on the other side of the trigger. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.